Let's talk about the ruin of rebellion this morning. Let me start by saying this, and you can write this down as Roman numeral 1. God has our best interest in mind. Can you write that down somewhere? And if you believe that, can you say amen? God has our best interest in mind. Do you believe that? I believe that with all of my heart, that God has our best interest in mind. Now, the summertime's coming, and folks get a little lax in the things of God, and also we get a little rebellious with the things of the Word of God. Let's think about this morning, the ruin of rebellion and how that will affect our lives and those around us a little bit. God has our best interest in mind. I want you to keep that in mind as we think about this, because every time I begin to study something about rebellion or whatever, I think about this, that God always has for me the best in mind. He wants the best for me. God wants the best for you. I believe that with all of my heart. Don't you think so? I really do. Also, His commands are for our benefit. Do you believe that? That God's commands are for our benefit, not to keep us from enjoying life. A lot of folks think the commands of God are actually so hard and so critical that I can't even enjoy life. That is not so. God has your best interest in mind when He writes the Word of God, and His commands are for our benefit, not to keep us from enjoying life, but in fact, to enjoy life. In fact, let me say this, disobeying the Lord usually makes our lives more difficult and more complicated. When we disobey God, it makes our life more difficult and more complicated. The Bible tells us we reap what we sow. Do you believe that? I also want to tell you about that verse, that we always reap more than we sow. And I want to tell you one more thing about that verse. We always reap later than we sow. Now, some folks sow a lot of stuff, and they say because nothing happened, nothing went wrong in my life, that God is not going to make me reap what I've sown. Oh, yes, you always will reap what you sow. Come on, amen. You always will reap what you sow, and you will always, everybody listen, you will always reap more than you sow, and you always will reap later than you sow. Just because you're not reaping today on something you did that was not good does not mean that you're not going to. You will. There's no escaping the consequences of rebellion. That's why it's dangerous and very costly to resist the Lord's will. When your prayers remain unanswered and nothing seems to go so well, check to make sure you are obeying the Lord in every area of your life. Only when we are submitted to Him can we be assured that the full measure of God's blessings are really going to be given to us. We've got to be submitted to His will and be in obedience to Him for us to receive His blessings. Roman numeral number 2, the nature of rebellion. What is the nature of rebellion? Rebellion is an act against established order and authority. It can be defiance against God's will or simply resistance against leadership. He has ordained certain kinds of leadership for us in our lives. When young people in our homes resist the leadership of mom and dad, they're headed for disaster. When we as men and women fall under leadership and then we rebel against our leadership, whether it's at church or whether it's at where we work, we're headed for disaster, because God has established certain leadership and certain authority that we ought to follow. And we have to follow that, or else we suffer the consequences. When we insist on doing things our own way, we somehow reveal about ourselves a certain kind of pride and selfishness when we reveal that about ourselves. Saul, the very first king of Israel, paid a price for his rebellion against God. The Lord wanted to punish the nation of Amalek for how they had treated the Israelites. You know the story. They're in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Open your Bible, by the way, to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Let me point out some verses of Scripture. He commanded Saul to destroy the nation entirely. If you will, go down to verse number 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. I remember that which Amalek did to Israel and how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now, go and smite Amalek. Here's the word of God talking to the man of God. Go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all they have. That's in the Bible. And then he says, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Wow, that is a pretty hefty duty for a man to do, to kill everybody in the Amalek nation. Now, I did not write this. God wrote this, and that's what God said. Somebody says to me, well, God's not that kind of a God. That's exactly what God said to do. And he pointed out even the infants and even the sucklings. Why? Because that nation was such an ungodly nation, and that nation had come against God's people. And God said, I want them all destroyed, and not only the people and the kids and the suckling ones, I want all of their animals killed as well. Now, as you go down and you read that entire setting of Scripture, and I'm not going to read all of it. I'll let you do that yourself. But Saul smote some of the Amalekites. It says in verse 7, from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that's over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people from the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good. It would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. God said, I am grieved. And then it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night long. Now, the king did not do what he was reportedly supposed to do. Saul spared the king and the best of the livestock. When the prophet confronted him, Saul declared that he had followed God's instructions. He lied. And then he said, the people. He stopped a moment and he passed the blame on his army and claimed that the animals that had been saved were going to be used as sacrifices. You see, what happened in the story was this, that Saul honored only a portion of God's command. And partial obedience is always disobedience. When you come to the things of God, ladies and gentlemen, partial obedience is always disobedience. Roman numeral 3. What is God's view of rebellion? What is God's view of rebellion? Now, Scripture teaches that disobeying God is as serious as idolatry and witchcraft. I think we do need to read that verse again that we read in the text. 1 Samuel 15, verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. It says right there in the word of God, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Rebellion isn't just limited to disobeying God's specific commands to us. It includes transgressing the moral guidelines given to us in his word. You see, the Father's laws and instructions are always best for all of us. He's omniscient. You know what that means about God? He's all-knowing. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. You know what that means? I mean, he has the power, all the power, to help us through every situation and every circumstance. His laws are designed to protect us in every single area of our life. What's God's viewpoint? God is the ultimate authority. Look at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. God is the ultimate authority. Can somebody say amen right there? God is the ultimate authority. This book is the ultimate authority. Nobody, no one else usurps the authority over the book. The Word of God is the ultimate authority. It's the Word of God. It's God's Word. He is all power. Now, we're sitting here listening this morning to this message. But the Lord delegates leadership to governments, business leaders, parents, pastors, coaches, and others. Without authority, we would have chaos and anarchy. We need authority, and God is the supreme authority. Now, let's look at number four. How do we rebel against God? How we rebel against God? How do we do that? Well, I think there's a lot of ways, and you can write these down. I don't have them on the screen for you. But how do we rebel against God? Number one, we refuse to obey His callings. When we refuse to obey His callings, we are rebelling against God. The message title this morning is The Ruin of Rebellion. Many folks have been ruined because of simple rebellion. Refuse to obey His calling. We should follow the specific instructions given to us in God's Word. In our discipleship class this morning, we were talking about that very thing, that the Word of God is preeminent. The Word of God, it's hard to explain the Word of God, how we received it. If you think about it, 40 different men wrote in the Word of God over 1,500 years, and God gave them. It's hard for me to understand this. I'm telling you, it is. How can God, because God doesn't do this today. God doesn't talk to me to get me to write something to tell you. No, God doesn't do that. But yet God gave these men, 40 different men, over 1,500 years. God gave them the inspiration from Scripture to write the very Word of God that we say is the King James Bible, and we dare not change a single word of it. And we say God inspired those men to write that Word. Isn't that true? And to rebel against that written Word, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, is to rebel against God. And rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. The ruin of rebellion. This Bible, we need to huddle close to it. It is our lifeline. Don't refuse His calling. Number two, pursue what He forbids. How do we rebel? We pursue what He forbids. There are things you know written in the Word of God that you are to stay away from. If we don't stay away from those things, we are rebelling against God. Listen. Is it right? Well, you say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, I think violating the command of Scripture is rebellion. For instance, is it right? Should a man pursue another man's wife? Listen to me, everybody. Should a man pursue another man's wife? We know that that is dead wrong, don't we? Now, how do we know that? Because in this Bible, it says not to do that. So we know it's wrong. Then no one should ever be part of doing that if we're children of God. We know it's wrong. We know it's wicked. Should we use the name of God in vain? Should we cuss and swear and say anything we want because I can say whatever I want to say? No, we know that's wrong to do that. Should we take into our system those things that destroy the temple? No, we already know we should not do those things. Why? Because the Word of God has spoken against that. We pursue the right thing sometimes, however, in the wrong way. That's just as wrong. Sometimes you can pursue the right things in the wrong way. There is nothing wrong with wanting a promotion at work. But if you criticize and gossip about the person in order to make yourself look better and more competent, then your actions have become rebellious. And I've known people who have gotten positions in their jobs by raking down somebody else and making somebody else look cheap, and they themselves look better. That's just as wrong. Now that, to me, is just as wrong as stealing somebody's wife. We don't preach about that much, don't talk about that much, but this just is wrong. It's rebellion against God. Now, what about pursuing godly goals on your own schedule? God not only has a correct way for us to achieve our objectives, but a specific time for those. For instance, a 16-year-old may find a wonderful young man she wants to marry. Maybe this young gal finds, she's only 16, but she finds somebody she really wants to marry, and she wants to have a wonderful married life. But she's only 16. Most teens at 16 are not ready to get married. Where's all the amens? You scared? Your kid's going to threaten you after service or what? I tell you again, listen, we better be harder on this. Most teens at 16 are not ready for marriage. They're not. They're just not ready. Some of us aren't even ready at 25. Come on, you know it to be true. Marriage is a lifelong commitment. When you say I do, you did. But somebody tells me, I said I do, but I didn't mean so long. When you say I do, it's I do, till death do us part. That's what the marriage vow says. We do. Before making any major decisions, ask yourself, what's the wisest thing for me to do? Don't make a move until you get clear answers from God. Resist the temptation to compare your possessions with the possessions of others, by the way. Instead, ask God what He wants you to have. When you surrender to the Lord Jesus, you will have life at its best. Number five, Roman numeral five. The reasons for our rebellion. I don't have these written down for you either, but let's look at some reasons for our rebellion. At particular crossroads, disobedience to the Lord can ruin our lives. He will forgive us, but won't always choose to eliminate the consequences. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I think everybody needs to know you can go into sin and rebel against God, and God will forgive you for your rebellious acts, but you still are going to face the consequences. Salvation does not change consequences. Can I get an amen right there? It just doesn't. There are consequences in life, and we know that there are. And the consequences come because of rebellion or sin against God. And we can change and be forgiven, and God can change us as far as where we're headed, heaven or hell. We can be forgiven. We can have freedom. But there still will be consequences we will face. And everybody will face those things. We know that to be true. There are certain consequences. Go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, please. He will forgive us, but won't always choose to eliminate those consequences. For instance, what did Eve do in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17? She ate the forbidden fruit because she didn't believe the Lord. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Well, she didn't believe she would. She believed the serpent more than she did God, evidently, and thought her own way was better. Her life changed, however, dramatically because of her choice. And by the way, rebellion against God always has, always, always, always has its price. Always. Always. Sometimes it will cost us financially. Other times it costs us internally. A lack of peace, a lack of joy, a lack of healthy relationships. The reasons for our rebellion, doubting the word of God was number one. Number two, pride. Arrogant people demand their own way and want it immediately. You know people like that. They demand their own way and they want it now. Arrogant, prideful. The devil lies to us and says that unless we get something now, we'll never have it. That's not so. What about bitterness? Number three, bitterness and resentment. Some people rebel against God because they have been unable to let go of the past. They have an unforgiving spirit. Instead of dwelling on what went wrong, remember that today is a fresh start. You cannot keep remembering what went wrong. If you live in the past of what went wrong, what happened, why is it all messed up, you'll go simply crazy. You got to just press on. You have a new day now. Get it done. Get it talked about to God. Get forgiveness and get done with it. Get that bitterness and resentment gone and be done with it. Instead of dwelling on what went wrong, remember today's a fresh start. Determined to walk in obedience and enjoy the awesome future that the Lord has for you. Isn't the Lord awesome to serve? We don't serve out of constraint. This is an awesome way to live. This is such a good way to live. We can rejoice and sing the songs of faith, magnify the Lord, understand the Word of God, live a life of purity, live a life of strength. It's an awesome way to live. Some of the rest of you need to say amen right there. I mean, the radio people are listening. There's people out there who need to hear your amens. Because this is an awesome way to live. It's the only way to live. Find freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Live with happiness and joy. What a wonderful truth. I don't want to be in rebellion. I don't want to be in the ruin of rebellion. You will note people all over our church who for years have been in some kind of rebellion, and they're still suffering. And they will, because there's ruin in rebellion. What about selfishness? The reason for our rebellion. The last thing is selfishness. Many people see biblical guidelines as restrictions. But no one can live in defiance of the laws of God and have genuine peace. I'm not going to do that. Come to tithes and offerings, for example. I understand that I'm supposed to give to church. That's all church wants is money. That's not so. The church wants you to obey God. Because when you obey, you're blessed. And when you don't obey, you're not blessed. All we're trying to get across to everybody is just live in obedience. We believe that coming to church is important. Because the Bible says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Hebrews 10:25. We believe you ought to come to church. We believe you ought to pray and seek the Lord. We believe you ought to read your Bible. And not be in rebellion. Love the Lord Jesus. Now, let's talk about the sixth thing. The results of rebellion. What are the results of rebellion? I want you, first of all, get your Bible and go to Numbers chapter 16. We're not going to read in Numbers 16, but I want you to see the story. It's verse 1 through verse 40. The results of rebellion. The Bible gives us a number of examples of how God responds to our rebellion. When the Israelites refused to fight for Canaan, they did so because they feared the giants. Remember, they feared the giants in the land. So they didn't want to fight. The Lord judged that generation and allowed them to die off in the wilderness. In fact, did you know, and I know that you do, but all the Israelites that started out for the promised land who did not believe, but they believed the report of the spies, but did not believe the report of Joshua and Caleb, they did not believe those fellows, they believed the other report, the devastating report, and because they believed that report, the Bible said they were caused to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And everybody who started out, 20 years of age and upward, died in the wilderness. Why? Because of rebellion. God let them die in the wilderness and not ever see the wonderful blessings of the promised land. Why? Because of disbelief and rebellion. In fact, in Numbers 16, 1 through 40, it's a story about Korah. Remember when Korah rebelled against Moses? When Korah rebelled against Moses, what happened? The God of heaven caused the ground to open up. If you read that story in those verses, the ground opens up and Korah, now get this, and his entire family are taken and they fall in the hole that opened up and then God closed it back again. They all died. Now, you know what that tells me? It tells me I better not be in rebellion against God because God thinks a rebellion is very, very critical. He does think it to be critical. I can't be in rebellion. It'll be the ruin of me if I'm in rebellion. I can't be in rebellion. King Saul paid a price for his disobedience. Not only did the Spirit depart from him, the Bible said he became mentally disturbed. Saul spent his life, as you know, chasing David, trying to kill him, consumed. What was he consumed with? With jealousy. He was consumed with bitterness. There are always consequences for rebelling against God. Go with me to Psalm 107, Psalm 107, verse 17 and 18. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Stop, don't change that screen yet. Go back to that screen, if you will, please. Fools because, look at the screens. Fools because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, here's what it says, are afflicted. Scripture. Fools. A fool is one who says there is no God. They rebel against God. Verse 18. Look at this verse. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. There's always consequences for rebelling against the Lord. What happens in your life when you rebel against God? Well, immediately, fellowship with God's broken. Secondly, you will not experience a genuine happy peace and joy and happiness. Thirdly, you'll make foolish mistakes. And as a result, doubt that the Father really loves you and cares for you. I talk to people all the time who say, well, I don't know. This thing about church and church life and God. God doesn't love me anyway. No, it's because you've been in rebellion, you feel like that. You'll make foolish mistakes. And you'll doubt that Christ and God the Father loves you and really cares. And finally, you may suffer physically because people tend to make unhealthy decisions when they are living in disobedience to the Lord. The ruin of rebellion. I think most everybody in America, most everybody under the sound of my voice, even those who are listening by radio this morning or through the internet, most everybody knows what God expects. And we know what we should be doing. But we fail to do what we know we should do. That's called rebellion. It's foolishness. Rebellion against what God wants. I want to see our lives here at Harvest blessed. My life, your life, all of us blessed and strengthened and touched and live successful. Have happiness, have joy, have peace. Oh, I want God to bless us and use our lives. It was wonderful at the funeral that those folks who came to trust the Lord. Now, they said that they're going to come in the next week or two to church. When they come, you folks need to help me rally them. Some of them were saved, but now they need to be discipled. They need to be loved. They're from a background that's just away from God and don't know much of anything. But these people need to know God, and we need to be concerned about them. They've been in rebellion against God for a time, and all this happens to those folks who are rebellious, away from God. Now, here's the conclusion of this whole matter. I think our choice is very simple. I was saved when I was 13, and that day that I got saved, something happened to me. I think it happens to everybody who gets saved. Some of us listen more closely than others, but I got saved at 13, and I so wanted to please God. When I got saved, my daddy had taught me to please God was the most important thing in the world. And I wanted to please God. But I went through some struggles between my 13 to 16. But when I became 16, I felt like God was calling me to preach the gospel. And I wanted to preach the gospel more than anything else in the world. And I want to keep my life like it should be. Now, I'm sure many of you are right there too with me. But the old devil's lied to you, hasn't he? And he's told you stories and he messed up your life in certain areas and made you do things you didn't want to do. I know, I did the same thing. And I prayed and said, oh God, forgive me. I don't want to be in rebellion. But I found myself as a young man in rebellion. Even though I loved God, even though I felt like God was calling me to preach the gospel, I still found myself in rebellion, just like you'll find yourself. But there's got to come a day, there's got to come an hour when you say to God, God, I'm done with all this stuff. I want to live for Jesus. I'm sick and tired of being tossed back and forth, up and down, having life go well for a while, then having the bottom fall out. God, I want to serve you with all of my heart. And that's what I did. And that's what everybody in this room needs to do. God, I want to serve you with everything in my heart and life. You know as well as I do the devil's after every one of you in this room. I know he is. He's after me constantly. And I know if he's after me, he's after you. After you to mess up, after you to say the wrong things, after you to do the wrong things, go to the wrong places, do the wrong stuff, say the wrong words. The old devil's after us, isn't he? We've got to yield ourselves to him because there is a ruin of rebellion. Our choice is simple. Simply submit to the Father or rebel against him. It's really sort of simple. Either way, we'll reap what we sow, won't we? We always will. No one who is in rebellion against God has true peace or joy or contentment or even success in life. They may look successful from the outside, but they are not truly satisfied with their lives because they've been in rebellion against God. I'm going to offer this morning a chance for many of you to come, just like I had to come to God. You need to get to God and say, dear God, I do not want to be in rebellion. Not at all. Ultimately, the decision is yours. wise men and women choose to obey the Lord and leave all the consequences to Him. That's the key, I think, of living life at its best. If someone would ask me, how can I live life at its best? Preacher, I would say this. Simply come to God. Choose to obey everything He tells you and leave all the consequences to God. And you'll live life, I think, at its best. Musicians are coming, and I'm closing. And I wonder today just where you are. I'm not saying you're wicked sinners. But are there some among us who are headed for the ruin of rebellion? Because we want to do our own thing. We want to say our own words, act our own way, go our own ways, do our own thing. Or are we willing this morning to come to God? There are teenagers in here who need to hear this message. There are moms and dads who need to hear the message. There are grandfathers and grandmothers who need to hear that message. And folks, we need to be concerned about our own children, that they don't go the ruin of rebellion. We know what's right to do. We've been taught from Scripture for literally years what's right and what's wrong. I can't refuse Him any longer. I got to come to Him. Is there an issue in your life, some issue in your life, that you just need to get it to God? Let's stand together, please.